Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's episode is going to start off on an off-topic, things that we normally don't talk about. I was reviewing some athletic statistics today. I used to be a top runner back in the late 70s to mid, probably till around 1988. And I was researching some of my friends, two who made it to the Olympic trials. And there was a special athlete named Susie Favor from Stevens Point, Wisconsin, who went from being an Olympian, she was probably a national champion 25 times over. She ran the mile in 4:20. She ran the 1500 meters in like 3:56. She was with 1/100th of a second of Mary Decker Slaney's record. She was one time ranked the fastest female in the world in the 1500. And she was a three-time Olympic international champion. She did not win at the Olympics, but she was a middle distance icon. What happened afterwards, after her appearances in the 1992, 1996, and 2000 Olympics, she became a high-end hooker, and she was actually married to Mark Hamilton during this time, a baseball player from some university. I don't remember if it was at UW-Madison, but I'm going to play this caption.
I knew my life was probably over.
Susie Favor Hamilton was working as a high-placed Las Vegas escort.
From the All-American
marriage on the rocks.
Mark, I don't know how anybody can understand how you were okay with this, why you didn't get up and say, you're crazy.
So what turned an Olympic-class athlete into a Vegas call girl?
I know. It wasn't Susie. It was the disease.
And now, the race of her life to get back on track.
So many secrets, Susie. My life was filled with secrets.
And tonight, she's sharing them all. Fast Girl.
Good evening. I'm Elizabeth Varga.
And I'm David Mueller. With the Summer Olympics in full swing right now, someone who knows what those athletes are going through firsthand, Susie Faber-Hamilton, who competed in three separate games but took up a very different career after that. And she has laid it all out of the table right to you, Elizabeth.
She absolutely has, David. Nothing was off limits. The woman who had once been on top, in contention for the gold, hit rock bottom and began living a secret double life, one that exploded in headlines and almost destroyed her life. Her book about it, Fast Girl, became a New York Times bestseller. But the question now is, can she finally stop running?
When I was a little girl, I would pretend I was a horse. I just felt, you know, like a horse galloping through the woods.
Susie Faber-Hamilton has been running for most of her life.
Running took me away from everything.
The question has always been, to where and from what? Stevens Point, Wisconsin, in the early 1970s, blessed with prodigious talent and laser-focused drive, young Susie emerges as a local sports hero. Colleges around the country flock to recruit her.
She was recruited by 200 colleges to come run. That's crazy. I mean, everyone wanted her. Everyone wanted Susie. She was that good.
Susie chooses to stay close to home, signing with the University of Wisconsin, Madison.
I chose Wisconsin because I feel they have a great coach.
Wisconsin, her collegiate career is nothing short of meteoric.
What a
this race her freshman year made everyone take notice. Watch as she hurtles head first across the finish line for the win.
She was fantastic. She won everything in college.
Susie Faber wins.
She's a Midwestern girl from Wisconsin.
The quirky little young lady, Susie Faber, takes over and dominates the women's race.
She was it.
With her parents' proud support,
she is determined, a very determined person.
The victories and the trophies keep piling up.
So what were you known for as a runner? I was known for my kick. If there was another runner next to me with 100 meters to go, I could always outkick them. I could always outsprint them. So you're born with that talent. Either you have it or you don't.
Off the turn, it'll be a sprint.
Okay, I'm going to cut to the show now. My basic premise of this show is that anybody with the right amount of toxicity in their life can go from a champion to a person who makes terrible choices. So just to get an idea how good she was, just a minute, I have to close this window. To get a slight bit of how really good she was only 20 seconds off from Roger Bannister's best time, the first guy who broke the four-minute mile. She became the second fastest American woman ever at 3:57 to break the four-minute barrier. She was the fastest middle-distance runner in the entire world, and she was named U.S. Track and Field's Female Distance Runner of the Year in 2000. And she came close to placing in both the 96 and the 2000 Olympics. So I'm not going to go on and on about her life. I was just shocked after I was going through some statistics. One of my college mates from Mankato State, Lori Bearson, went to the Olympic trials. She was a close friend of mine, and I just thought it was interesting, a good way to open the show. I worked a 10-hour day today. And John's always talking about Hollywood and Gazelle, that creepy lady. And I just thought we could open up the show with something interesting. Good evening, Don. Thank you for calling in so quickly.
Oh, you bet. No problem. Always happy to be here.
And
hello,
I haven't
everyone.
Had time to touch base with any of you guys because I worked really long hours this week and I did a turnaround trip to Minneapolis Monday and then I was back at work today for 10 hours. So I'm real sorry that I haven't touched base with you. How's your health?
I'm okay. I'm living the good life. God bless me many times. So I am just kind of taking it as it comes.
Great.
Yep.
John, how's your night going?
Oh, it's great to be alive. Is everyone wearing their mask right now?
I did at work for 10 hours, but not in my own domicile.
Right.
I see.
There has been a lot of significant things in the news again. There was a major Supreme Court decision this week, but I'm going to let John start because I have to look up something regarding that recent ruling. I think it had something to, now Rush Limbaugh had said that now he's completely convinced that John Roberts is a hell-bent liberal, and there was some Supreme Court there was some court ruling about Trump's taxes this past week, so John, you don't have to start on that. You just have to start on what you've been noticing in the last 7 days.
Well, there's every minute everything changes. It's an amazing world. I mean, we had, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, Cantier, or is it Conman West, was running for office, and then he quit, and then Cantier became Kanye.
He quit the race?
Well, he quit the race, but then he then applied. He spent $35,000, I think he applied for North Carolina, I think. It was one of those states. And then in the process, Kim was trying to – the beautiful witch.
Was he trying
Kim
to get on the ballot?
Yes, he was, and I think he's on it. And then his wife tried to get him picked up and put in a mental institution. And then they had a big blow up, and he apologized over the internet. And then she said, you know, my husband has bipolar. You have to kind of overlook that. And then he
I did hear about that, actually.
Yeah, he apologized how he treated her and how she's always been there for him. Now, just think, he hasn't been like a week or two in politics, and already his wife's ready to send him in the mental institution. He's apologizing. Could you imagine negotiating with China or Russia or having to deal with North Korea and to have this stuff going on? I mean, we're not even talking – he hasn't even gotten through an election.
He really has no business even running, like – okay, remember when the race was open for governor and Schwarzenegger was in there and all these different people, like several celebrities, I think one porn star even, there was like 70 people running for California governor. Like it was like a novelty.
Yes,
that was during a recall election too. Gray Davis resigned or was recalled.
Right, old Gray. And which would be interesting to see if Governor Nonsense or Nuisance or whatever you want to call him. You know, it's kind of interesting. They opened up Caesar's Palace and people can gamble as well as get their pot and their alcohol, but they still can't go to church. They cannot go to church. They cannot sing. I guess we got our priorities finally right. What's interesting
is...
Yeah,
I do want to cut in a minute. One of my friends recently went to a singless funeral, a songless funeral. But at the church, I went to a funeral around July 1st or 2nd, and it was a singing funeral. But that was the Supreme Court decision on last Friday, on the 25th. They declined to lift a 50-person limit on religious service, adopted by Nevada's Democratic governor in response to the coronavirus pandemic. A 5-4 vote, the justices denied a request by Calvary Chapel, Dayton Valley, and rural Nevada for an interim order that would have allowed to host services for about 90 congregants. And they limited it to 50, and Chief Justice Roberts, a conservative, voted on the side of the four liberal members. And there was only a one-paragraph dissent, and I believe it was by the guy whose name that starts with an N. Well, Samuel Alito wrote a dissent, but that other guy, that one of those two men that Trump appointed, his name escapes me, also voted no. So go ahead, John and Don, whoever wants to talk.
Well, what they could do is have the debates with Trump and Biden and have Alex Trebek host it, right? And, you know, the orange man would take Big Beautiful Wall for $100. Joe, for the Daily Double, he would probably be like, where am I today? And then the final answer would be like, hydroxychloroquine. Like, it's literally.
No, I did hear Limbaugh talk about that. Somebody said that's a very good solution, and he was saying that people were discounting it in March and April, that it's not a solution for coronavirus.
Well, there's been a couple studies. There was the Lancet study, which was the major one that they decided to stop all the research or all the trials on, because they said it wasn't effective. The Lancet survey was basically, it was with veterans that already were dying, that were pretty much in the last week. They had like 3 or 4 days to live. And it's kind of a Hail Mary. So that's, in any situation, you don't really want to be, you know, when you're talking about supplements, vitamins, preventative care, therapeutics, you never want to go into the like the last week of life or death. That's like your team being behind by 20 points and let's throw Kobe and Michael Jordan in the game and see if they can save it. You want to start at the beginning of the game. You're going, oh, you have it. Oh, you should try to take this, you know, regimen. And that's how anything works, the vitamin C. You know, if you get sick or you have the pneumonia and then you start taking vitamin C, you're kind of screwed. You know, I mean, basically you've been breached already. So I think now the one that they were talking about, which several doctors came out. In fact, Dr. Emanuel, she came out and she started saying, I've got over 374 patients. None of them had died. And she was very, very vocal. It's the Henry Ford Clinic case they were talking about. Now, the thing is, Facebook and all these and Twitter, they deleted all these postings regarding it instead of having freedom of information. So that seems rather suspicious. It's like, why are they? And, you know, if they edit things and they're no longer just giving a platform for the public, they're becoming a publisher. They're creating, information of their own, you know, they're creator. So they're no longer just a forum for people to post. If you're going to do that, then they're going to start editing and be responsible for everything they say, which they're not supposed to be that. They're supposed to just present information. They can't be sued because they're not claiming to know anything. Here they're claiming to know something like this is a bad thing, this is fake, and so forth. And so that's the problem they're going to run into legally. And here's where it gets serious. Nicholas Sandman, remember we talked about him a couple of years ago?
No, but I do remember the name of the court guy. It was Neil Gorsuch. But go ahead.
Yeah, but the whole situation was when the Covington High kids were being taunted by black Jews, Hebrew Jews, and they were taunting them.
Yes, I remember now.
The Indian guy came walking up to there pounding his little musical drum. And I walked straight up to Sandman, who was just standing there, and was beating it. And they were accusing Sandman of assaulting him, basically, of, you know, this whole gang of kids attacking this Indian. And, of course, the video showed, like, they weren't doing anything. They were just standing there, and this guy's pounding the drum in your face. So he won with Washington Post. He also won with CNN. Now, what happened is they settled out of court. They did not go to trial, or they didn't go to judgment. And he said two down, six to go. He's going to go after MSNBC and several of the other sites. I think even Facebook, I'm not sure. But the point is they're finally starting to sue these companies for editing and censoring and shadow banning. And you're seeing that with, what's his name, Zuckerberg. There's a lawsuit now that Matt Gaetz put in for basically suing them for editing information, for blocking accounts. And so we're going to see a lot of stuff heat up in the next couple months before the election.
Okay. Don, do you have anything to contribute to what he just said?
Yeah, I'm the doctor at the hospital. What was the name again? Dr. Ingraham? Anyway, yeah, that was an independent study of the 348 people, and they were basically in the middle. Like you said, the end of life people don't have a chance at the losing game, but they were in the middle, and I guess there was a large percentage, I don't remember, but a number that survived, and so they and the Trump administration, or I should say Trump himself, laid the laurels on hydroxychloroquine. But then the CDC came up with its own study, and that's when they dispelled it. But Trump refused to give it up. But Susie Favors, you know, me being from Wisconsin, I remember that name. And
you remember her?
I remember that situation, and it was shocking, but, you know, athletes are very sexual people. Because
they're highly driven, too.
Highly driven. And for her to turn out that way didn't surprise me much at all. I was an athlete and saw what happened to me. But for the most part...
But, you know, she never divorced. Like, she did that while she was married.
Right.
But this is... I do have a quote from her that now I lost because of this slow-moving computer. She said something to the effect is that she was on this bipolar medication. She didn't know the side effects, and that sex was her kind of like her drug. It wasn't drugs or anything. It was sex.
Right.
And sexual desire fueled her into this kind of lifestyle. She got paid $600 an hour, and she obviously was concealing it from her husband. And then she went on to write a book called Fast Girl, and now she speaks at mental health conferences. But he forgave her, and they stayed together. And a reporter is the one that busted her, and she actually admitted when she got busted in Vegas. I don't know how he actually got, like if you saw her on the street or how that went about. But to make a long story short, she admitted it, and then it became public. And then Nike and a couple other places, they had to change some of, like they had like a couple of races and scholarships in her name, and they had some sponsors change those scholarships and names to a different name. It wasn't like the Susie Favor Award type thing.
Right, right. No, I remember.
So she went from being the favorite to giving favors. I just thought I'd make a bad pun.
That was a bad one. But I remember.
So I was just wondering, John, thank you for all your good information. Do you guys, I want to say one more thing about Susie Favor, and then we can go into other Supreme Court stuff, too, that's going on. Do you guys think, like, when people take high risks like that when they know that they're a public figure. Like, for example, Khloe Kardashian's Lamar, when he had that drug problem. Like, do you think they really think about the end result, or are they only living in the moment?
living in the moment. I know very well firsthand, not me, but about what is it, enabling is what they call it, and there are enablers in every, in a lot of people's lives. And the enabler actually doesn't know how to work with their part, the person that know that they have the relationship with, and so they just kind of let it continue and let it go on and let it go on.
Yeah, like there a wife who, like a wife who sees her husband drinking and she just turns the other way.
Mm-hmm. Is that supposed to be a personal comment? Something
no,
like that.
But I, actually it relates to my childhood. My mother tolerated my father's drinking, but he didn't get falling down drunk. He just snuck drinks at night when she was work at nursing home. But I think with Susie Favor, somebody, whether let's just say she had sex, she's now living in Manhattan Beach. But let's just say she was tempted by a neighbor to have sex. Well, somebody must have talked her into that high-end escort business, because you don't just show up in Vegas and start making $600 an hour. Like, there was some kind of tip-off.
And that's why you can't completely rule out that her husband had something to do with introducing her to someone, or even being an enabler in her pursuit of happiness, if you want to call it that. That was another bad one. But
right, like it's just John has talked a lot about Hollywood celebrities and their weaving of their mind into corruption, and this is a little different because you really, when you really think about an athlete, maybe they are sexual, but they're also, their body is a temple. Like, you can't put, if you're an Olympian especially, you can't put anything in your body that's toxic. Like, you can't eat 10 Twinkies or 10 Ho-Hos a day. You know, like, you have to have a regimented system. For her, in order for her to run under 4 minutes, like, she was world class, and whatever went off in her brain, like some kind of chemical to make her desperate and change 12 years after she left the final Olympics, not to mention she had a 10-year-old daughter around that time. So that's really going off the track.
You can't say that Olympians can't eat 10 Twinkies. Some Olympians need to eat 20 Twinkies.
Well, they might eat it once a week, like a carbo. What we used to call it was a carbo load right before the race.
Right.
So, and some people eat spaghetti before a marathon, but I'm just saying she was 110 pounds. If you look at some of her running pictures, even from the time she was a national champion by the time she was 13, like she was fit as a fiddle with God-given talent. So it's just kind of weird. Well, her brother committed suicide, and that was a trigger for the things going downhill. So anyway, we can move on to another subject, but like I was very involved in the sports world. I knew every name, I knew every statistic, I knew every race that Mary Decker ran. We followed this stuff, like especially for, I'm not bragging, but I had 5 scholarship offers. People like me, we were in the know. We had connections to all the top coaches, and we were the fucking bomb era of women's sports. It started perpetuating in the 70s, and it peaked like in the 90s, but it's still going strong. But the 70s was really the era for the running boom. So, but anyways, I don't want to make the whole show about that. It's just that I thought it was a very interesting story. But even if you do own your mental illness, like, she's never going to recover her reputation, ever. Like,
It sounds like she went to putting a lot of things in her body. more than ho-hos, she became a ho-ho.
And then, like, John knows, I'm not going to talk about my gambling addiction tonight, but John knows all about my ups and downs, and even with the most concrete knowledge he's given me, I followed maybe 30 to 50% of his advice. Now,
remember,
luckily, I'm working.
I love athletics, and especially that time period. I was growing up, you know, in the 60s and really the 70s. I was a teenager, so all that era, I remember, like, Jim Ryan, I remember Marty LaCoury, and, you know, later on Steve Prefontaine. And these were just, you know,
it was
athletes.
It was freaking awesome.
You know, it was amazing to see these guys because this was a time when they're going, it's, you know, people were saying it's impossible for a man to run under 4-minute mile. You know, I mean, physically, like, they were thinking, like, maybe, you know, you'd die, your heart would burst. And then to see people break, it's like, oh, and then 350. And, you know, can we break 350? And, you know, and to see guys in, you know, sprints and women, you know, just break all kinds of records. And women breaking records that men, like, you know, a decade earlier had set, or, you know, a couple, you know, it's like there was this era of, like, there were no limits. And then the one record, I think, from that era that's never been touched was the long jump, right, to Mexico City. I'm trying to think of the guy that did. He's like a 26 and something foot
Sebastian
jump.
Coe?
Was it Jim Beamon?
No,
Beamon. Like
Beamon.
I think you're thinking of Jim Fix who wrote – well, there's one guy who wrote – Jim Fix wrote a famous book about writing, and then he dropped out of a heart attack in his early 40s.
Right, he was the runner who dropped
Beamon.
In, but the
Beamon
long
had
jump.
28-foot long jump. Jim Beamon.
He did a jump that no one's ever, and, you know, some of it could be, well, it was Mexico City because of the altitude, you know, things you do, like in Colorado, baseball players hit the ball farther, about 10 to 15%. But the point is, I think you just, you know, sometimes you do one thing, I don't know whether it's adrenaline or what, but you do something you can never ever, like, he couldn't ever replicate it. But just this magical, like, you went out of body experience. No one's ever jumped as far as he has, ever. And to
no,
the
I
day,
didn't
I mean,
really
I'm,
follow the long jump. That would be something I have to look up.
Yeah, it was just an incredible thing where no one with all these, you know, you think compare him and those athletes, you know, they had John Carlos, you had, was it Tim Smith? It was Carlos and Smith. And a couple of these other athletes, I mean, they were like at this high level of black athlete, just like Muhammad Ali, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, just once in a decade, once in a lifetime athletes. But, you know, as the sport's gone along, you've seen all the athletes, white and black, and even, you know, others that have physically gotten into this level where they can compete or they'll be at the same level. But here you have this one thing that, like, no one can touch it. So, you know, it's like with all the roids and everything, no one's been able to get close to him.
Well, yeah, like, you're kind of talking about, like, the brouhaha, like, reaching the apex, the highest level an athlete can reach. And then maybe after they've reached their peak, then they can no longer sustain some kind of excitement in their life. So they have to look for something else.
Apparently so.
But, like, I ran from age 16 to 30, and I chose to quit after having a Lexus because I had an epidural put in my back after a C-section. And I still ran here and there in my mid-30s, but I didn't keep up with it like my twin sister. And I have friends now who are 61 who are still runners. Like, they never stopped. But some people had to quit because of a bad knee or leg. But it is sports can, especially running, can be an addiction. It's definitely an addiction to be a running athlete. And I know people who've done it religiously for years.
So maybe you need the runner's high?
Yeah.
It produces the
endorphins.
Endorphins, yeah. The same thing. Where does it start with an S? The endorphins, the adrenaline, all that stuff. That is the same thing that drugs, alcohol, sex, those kinds of things that take you to another level, produce.
Yeah, like, I was just going to say, like, my best race ever, one time there was a 5-mile road race in the country, and I ran 29:30 for a 5-mile. And this was not on a track. It was on dirt roads in the country with big rocks. You know, part of it was pavement. Part of it might have just been an ordinary street with not good pavement. Like, I was running against this one really good athlete named Mary Jo Stoka, and we were neck and neck, like, the last 2 miles, and I just wouldn't give up. My time ended up being sub-6-minute miles for 5 miles. Now, I just remember certain races where it was like a complete high. Like, I felt like I could feel my legs moving, but my body was almost like above the ground. That kind of stuff. So, John, you probably get that when you're in the music studio for 3 to 6 hours and you finally completed a song with the right background music. Like, that's probably like you're running high.
Music is my drug, so that's what come. I've never had to do drugs, and I tell all musicians this, like, make music your drug. You know, make God your drug. Make eating healthy or working out your drug. You can get high off of it, and it's a good high. You don't have to worry. I tell customers all the time, you never get arrested for driving under the influence of chocolate or, you know, something like that. Like pick something that's fun. That doesn't kill you. And people getting the drugs, you just get addicted to this. Now, it's amazing. You did under 6-minute mile. Now, I never timed myself after junior high, so I never officially did even a mile under 6 that I know. And I remember, like, after I hurt my ankle, I started going out to the track and seeing if I could replicate it, you know, like get under 6, try to get to 5. I remember, like, I would, like, every, you know, time around the lap is quarter of, you know, a mile. So I tried to time it, like, you know, if I beat, you know, minute 50 or whatever, I could do the whole thing. And I don't think I was, like, around 6, but for you to do it for 5 miles, my goodness, you must have been like the Roadrunner.
Yeah, like I'll just tell you all my best times. My best mile was 5:13. My best 2-mile was 11:02. That's 5:30 miles. My best 3-mile was 17:50. My best 5K, I mean, my best 5K was 37. No, I think it was 5K is 3.1 miles. So that was 17 something. My best 4-mile was 23:50. I already told you my best 5. And my best 10K, which is 6.2 miles, was 37 minutes. But just so Joan ran a 4:50 mile when we were living in Hollywood at age – I moved there at 27. So, like, at around 28 years old, I timed her on a track. It was at a high school, Marshall. She ran a 4:50 mile. Now I'm going to segue into a new topic because I get the New York Times morning briefing every day. And believe it or not, one was a favorable story about Trump. And by the way, Ivanka Trump came here on Monday, but I was in Minneapolis, and she was promoting something like Duluth Pack. I think it's a clothing line. But I never really got the full story, and I meant to ask my friend. But she was all the way up here, you know, in the tip of Minnesota at Lake Superior promoting something. But since taking office, President Trump has lost support among many demographic groups, women and men, older and younger, college grads and non-grads. But two big exceptions remain, black and Latino voters. Trump will lose both groups badly in November, but his support among them has not slipped. He has 10% of the African-American vote and 30% of Latino vote. So I just wanted to point that out. And even with Wisconsin and Minnesota has now required masks in all the stores, like out there where you live, John. I don't know if Nevada's that strict. Trump has adopted a more obvious version of white identity politics, but he didn't invent the tactic. Black and Latino Americans who still vote Republican may simply not be bothered by it. Latino support for Trump was already at historic lows, said a dean at a school at UCLA. There wasn't that much more room for them to move down. However, Republican voters of color may instead be focused on other issues. Black and Latino voters are somewhat conservative on abortion than white voters. Some voters of color also favor reduced immigration, and others don't care about political correctness. I think also that Trump improved the numbers for black jobs. So what do you guys think of that recent statistic?
I think it depends who, who's doing the surveys, because, you know, what's interesting, a lot of times they'll ask people that aren't going to vote, and they'll ask a certain demographic. Now, what's interesting is people are watching the news every night. They're watching Portland get burned down, and you know the press is saying, "Oh, Trump's sending in you know the tank, or not the tanks, but like the federal soldiers and police enforcement or support, and this is bad. You know, this is like they're doing military kind of oppression on the people." And they're beating them up. But I have to say, you know, when you start studying the footage, just look at it. People are meeting at 9 o'clock at night. Now, think about this. 9 o'clock at night, you're meeting. Now, I don't know about you, but when you meet at 9 o'clock at night, anywhere outside, dark, in a big group, that's, you know, it's not like meeting, oh, we're going to meet at 6 o'clock or 7 or 8. You know, 9 o'clock is like, we're going to midnight. So what's happening is people go into midnight, and then they start pushing towards fences, trying to knock down chain link fences, start throwing things, try to smash windows, bring in metal objects, water bottles and ice that have been frozen, so they're like throwing ice blocks, and they're moving forward.
And they're doing this in Portland, John?
In Portland, trying to get into the court federal buildings. Now, the police aren't running around looking for people. They're going to these areas to protect federal court buildings, federal buildings. They're not running to the store or the promenade or the pier or wherever. They're just defending areas that people are trying to burn down. I mean,
hear about that. I think it is completely wrong to try to damage a court building. Like,
and if
you cannot,
the video,
you know, it's the county seat of government or whatever. Like, what's the point?
Well, if you look at the footage, you'll see all these green dots flying all over the place when they're getting ready to shoot tear gas or rubber bullets. And you'll see what they're trying to do is blind the officers with lasers. And three RA cops have had permanent eye damage or possible permanent eye damage because they were shooting, you know, these powerful lasers at their eyes. And the point being is that they're trying to hurt people. They're trying to burn things down. And who pays for this? You think about this. If I go down the street and I break a window, or I go to the liquor store, break a window and throw in a bottle, and burn it down, what should happen to me? Like, am I a hero? Am I trying to make things better? I'm not talking about reform or trying to correct some behaviors. We're talking about burning down. This is when you destroy a country. This is what you do when you have a revolution. And this isn't the act of people that are like, I have to pay for this. You have to pay for this. The people, and because of this, people can't work, right? Businesses are shut down. And when you have – right now what's happening to our country is we are – you think about this. We were talking a couple of years ago about the $21 trillion national deficit. It's like all the money that we make as a country is $20 trillion, and we're $21 trillion in debt, and how this was dangerous. It could lead to hyperinflation. They've now added $6 trillion. And plus, they're going to add another couple trillion with this stimulus. So we're going to add almost 30% So we're devaluating. So in other words, say you're making $10 an hour, you're going to be making $6 an hour. You know, if you're making 15, you're going to be making 10. Whatever you're making a year, just cut a third off, because that's what we're doing, printing all this fake money. It's your retirement money. It's your children's retirement. It's whatever you have left. And Lebanon just entered hyperinflation, kind of like, you know, Venezuela. They're just going down the dumper, and this is where we're heading. I think that, Jane, what you were talking about is people, regular people who work and who aren't, who goes out at midnight to burn down buildings? People who have no jobs. Just, you know, people who have to work.
I agree with that.
So one point is, what I'm saying is, America is looking at this and going, who's fighting this? These mayors are, you know what they want to do? They want to identify the officers. They want their names on the badges. Now, they have six IDs. You know, they're for the police, the unit they're with, their ID number, so they know exactly who the person is by number. But these people want their names on there so they can dox them, so they can print their addresses and have people go to their houses and attack them and assault them. And, you know, so the point is, a normal person like me is sitting there going, this isn't what I want. I'm not going to vote for these people. I'm going to vote for whoever's fighting it. Now, Trump is the only one condemning it. Nadler isn't. He thinks that it's a hoax. He thinks this is not real. There's no Antifa's not involved in this. I don't know. What do you think, Don?
Go,
Don,
Trump,
are you
go.
With us?
No, yeah. Go, Trump, go. I'm all...
Say what?
I'm all for it. You know, on Trump's watch, he is doing a marvelous job. As I said last week, the virus is in opposition to him. The Chinese dropped that virus off at the it was the World Games in Wuhan. In September, October, they dropped the virus off on those people in the military that was accompanying them, and he brought it back, and now the world is going, burn it up. Burn, baby, burn. If you remember, we're talking about the 70s, and, you know, I was right in the middle of all of that. And thing is that, when you talk about financial and economic inequality, that is the worst thing in the world. And these are white people doing this. This is not black people who are making these bombs and tearing down gates so they can burn up federal buildings. You know, the only thing that I have a problem is that they're keeping all of this, these riots and all of these uprisings downtown. They should go out in the suburbs and really show what they're about. But besides that, they're all white people, and they're doing a great job of tearing everything down with the president, our leader, the titular head in front, and he's doing a great job. Right now, we've got so many companies that are on the edge of bankruptcy. We've got corporations that have to rethink their diversity programs. You know, the minorities have lost. They've 70% of all minority businesses are getting ready to go. And, you know, that's huge. But there has to be a collateral damage somewhere. But this is all Trump. He's the one who pushed civil disobedience in the first place. If you saw Kimmel...
That's a good point, Don.
Oh, no, it's the truth. You know, if you saw the... special on about farmers, Sunday. But anyway, he had interviews with black and white farmers, and both of them are hurting badly. The and a lot of it came up from the soybean tariffs. So, you know, Trump is doing a fantastic job just destroying the country, and he wanted to because he wants it in his image, first of all, but he knows that, as we've talked about Trilateral Commission, the, you know, everybody else, the, the One World Order. You know, if you have 6% of the world's money, that's much better than 6% of a country's money. And so you just tear down the whole world. And, you know, and then
I do have a comment based on what John said. Like, the discretion of President Trump during certain moments, like, I'll give John the overall arc that there are some things that he's intense about regarding sincerity in his belief system, but when he picks particular people to target at certain times regarding certain issues, that's pretty much where he has lost his credibility. Now, there was a time where he made inflammatory statements. There's still some kind of legal battle over how the crowd in that one park in D.C. was pepper sprayed when he walked across the street to get a Bible.
There should be no legal thoughts about that whatsoever. The evidence shows that crowd was pepper sprayed and tear gassed.
Right, like they were just standing there. In this case, it was all peaceful. But because the president was involved and it put a microscope under the gathering, then it made it more, you know, prominent in a sense. But I wanted to also add in that everybody forgot to bring up John Lewis was the only black legislator. Rosa Parks lied in the rotunda at the Capitol, but there's only been like a small handful of black people that have ever been lied in state. And I listened to a beautiful service with Mitch McConnell, even the first time in my life I've heard him say one nice thing about a Democrat. He said very nice things about John Lewis during his eulogy. Nancy Pelosi did too. Hers sounded a little more rehearsed. And then I heard a beautiful song, and it is well within my soul. Most Christians know that song. It was just a really beautiful service. And I'm sure only 5% of the population even heard the service on NPR, but it was still really wonderful to see.
Well, that's another thing that go Trump, go. You know, he said, screw John Lewis. Screw these black people.
Who said that?
You know, Trump. I mean, in essence, he said, screw black people. Screw John Lewis. He didn't come to my inauguration, so I'm not going
to. Well, technically,
his
that guy, Trump should have been at John Lewis's, partying service.
Yeah, but they told him not to be there because he was too much of a
disturbance.
Disturbance, right, exactly.
John,
so,
what do you think about that?
Go, Trump, go.
No, John, what do you think about Trump? What was that one funeral about a year ago that everybody went to but Trump? Was it George Bush Sr. when he died?
He did go to the Bush Sr. one, and that's the one where they all got envelopes, and at least the ones in the front.
Wasn't
two
that
rows.
Barbara Bush?
Barbara, Laura Bush got an envelope. Jeb got one. So did W. And Hillary, Bill, and Michelle, and Barack. And that was the one where Jimmy Carter's sitting next to them all. And, you know, Trump and Melania, they're the last couple to show up in the front row because he's the president, and he had to be escorted. And then he shook Barry's hand. smiled and waved at, Michelle, and Melania smiled and waved at all of them, because, to reach everyone across the aisle would have been too long. But Bill looked and kind of smiled. Hillary kind of nodded her head and just looked away, didn't look at him at all. And then Jimmy Carter was standing there, and through the whole process, he was looking for his envelope, because he did not get an envelope. And he was looking at Hillary and at Bill, and the Obamas going, where's my envelope? I didn't get one.
Wasn't that something to do with subpoenas?
Possibly. I would love to know what it was about, because all of them had these frown. I mean, straight out of.
And
like,
who did they get it from? Who did they get the envelopes from?
Well, realize that it's a government ceremony, because there's a president, and that the person in charge of, kind of the arrangements would probably be the president, or it'd be the government, but the president had final say. So whoever put the envelopes there, it had to be with some kind of government approval, or whoever planned the event. So the fact that the Bushes were happy, it obviously wasn't the Bushes that did it, because they were shocked by receiving it. So, but kind of going to point, I think, when you were talking about Mitch McConnell, I'm sure probably, they've worked with Mr. Lewis before. I'm sure a lot of them, they're friends. They all go to restaurants and things like that. But I would have to say, probably, honestly, they're probably just saying nice things because they have to, because if they don't, they're going to get shamed on social media and they'll be called racist, especially with the BLM movement. I think a lot of it's just kind of lip service, and both ways. If Trump died, people would have to say some nice things just to cover themselves. Because realize that 50% of your base, or 40 to 45% of your base, is either pro-Trump or anti-Trump, or pro-Obama, anti-Obama. So you have to appease the other half if you want to get elected.
I agree.
Donna,
are you with us?
Yeah, go Trump, go. The thing is that Gorsuch and who's the other one? Gorsuch and
Kavanaugh?
And the one,
Kavanaugh. Roberts?
Roberts. All right. So there was a 7-2, and I don't think I sent this to you. I sent it to my group, my mail group, mailing list. But I don't think I got a chance to send it to you guys. But there was a decision by the Supreme Court to give the an Indian group, their land in Oklahoma. And it was 7-2, and Roberts and Gorsuch voted to give the land back. Because you got to remember that Gorsuch is a Colorado former Supreme Court justice, district justice, and he believed in Indian land rights. So, yeah, large portion, 20% of Oklahoma, which just went back to the Indians. I forgot what the native group was, the Malakawi or something like that. But they just gave it back, and it was just amazing. I was like, whoa. And so I sent it out to everyone, and everyone just, sent a lot of likes back. So Oklahoma is the first start, and then we're going to have to get some of these other states to start giving their Indian, indigenous lands back. And I'm talking Nevada, Arizona, California. These people, they've got, they're our First Nation, and we they deserve the respect that they haven't got. So
there's a lot of battles up here about copper. I brought it up before. Copper and polymet mining and the pipelines. And some of it's been slowed down because of Native American efforts.
Good.
That's fine for them to pursue their rights, but if they come into my condo and they want to take it, there's going to be a little gun battle going on because no one gave me this. I worked. I saved the money.
They'll take the property rights.
John, you sound like that Republican friend of mine who had 19 guns out when there was like 100 protesters outside. They're going
to
come and take your condo, John.
They're going to let you keep the condo. They're just going to take the land, John. It's going to be easy as that. Their land, Santa Monica land, is going to be reservation land, but they're going to let you keep the condo and raise your taxes.
But like I say, they won't have an issue with me, but there'll be a certain 6'5" gentleman named Slick that will have an extreme big issue with it. The point being is no one gave this to me. I had to work for it. If they want to buy, they can buy whatever they want to buy. No one gave my grandparents, my grandfather Amish, or my grandmother Spanish, or the other side of from my mom's side, no one gave them anything. They came here, they worked. The government didn't give them dick. And so
the government will take it away. Watch. The government will take that shit and laugh at you and say, you can stay. Just, you're on a new set of rules. That's all.
Well, depends who you vote for. It depends if you vote for a socialist.
If not,
AOC, right?
A socialist didn't give the First Nation tribe in Oklahoma their land back. This is the Republican or Republican-esque Supreme Court that Donald Trump appointed, or had it voted in. This, what I'm saying is that this can change in a heartbeat. Okay, and your 6'5", gay friend, whatever, they won't be able to stop any of this stuff. They won't be able to stop it. So, bottom line is that this is you're not in control. They just gave whole swath of Oklahoma land to the First Nation.
Well, like I say, the people you voted for and that you support in your party, that's what they want to do. They want to just take away everything. So.
Now, do you really believe that's true, John? Because you're starting to sound like those radio pundits. Like, they'll come on the air and they'll say, like, those protesters, they're going to rip the courthouse down. And then they'll just say they just want to disrupt all the institutions. Like there's no middle ground. They'll just talk about the extremes.
All they want to do is get equality and justice. That's all. They don't want to take anything. They're not capable. And none of those protesters is capable of controlling or, taking care of any lands or any big buildings. All they want to do is make a point that there's an injustice that's being done when you got big corporations that take everything. You got Amazons and the Microsofts that paid zero taxes. That doesn't even sound right. And you're for it? That's wrong.
But I think protesting can only go so far. So I do agree with that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They don't know what to do with a freaking FBI building or a cop shop. They have no idea what to do with that. It could be a perfect place for the homeless. But other than that, they don't want that building. They just want to have it known that there has been injustice for a long, long time. And like I said, these are not black folks. These are not Hispanics. And these are not, in this particular instance, these are not Indians. These are not natives. These are white folks. And these are the folks burning this stuff down. And I go, go, Trump, burn your shit down.
Those aren't conservative Republicans, Don, you know that. They're me too. They are the Hollywood-loving establishment. They love Gaga. They love Madonna. They love Alyssa Milano. They're looking for the latest tweets from Johnny Legend and Chrissy Teigen. She talks about her love of little girls. Half naked.
Right.
Makes you think
about okay, John, wait. Now
you're segueing.
You don't know if every protester is tuned into Hollywood. That's a generalization.
But the thing is, though, Jane, is that these folks are from evil, devilish white parents. These people
okay,
are just.
Okay. Are you saying every protester? Because there's black people out there, too.
Not very many. It's a smaller percentage than the
city
population.
Well, I haven't even followed the protests for the last week. And I don't see much about it on headline news.
They're all white people.
Are you kidding me?
I was watching John Lewis's service, and all they have on MSNBC and CNN is COVID shit.
And that's all they have because they think that the COVID is going to win the election because the president is so scared to really try to even balance what his may be. He's only on his stuff. He's only for Trump, and it's destroying him. Is destroying the country and is going to destroy his election because people are seeing through the fact that he doesn't care about anyone but himself. Zero people.
Well, I'll call you both out on your shit. He cares about winning re-election, but if he didn't care about anyone but himself, he wouldn't be in the race. He must be doing this for something.
How can you say that when he's still pushing hydroxychloroquine and most everybody?
Well, actually, a new study came out this week from some scientists that it is a good choice. Now, I'm not saying it is, but some people have brought that report out to the light.
Yeah, and hydroxychloroquine early on, for those people who have early onset COVID, may work. It may be all right, but not
right.
But not the way that Trump is saying it. That you can take it anytime and it'll help you out. That's the late term, just like John was saying, late term. It just doesn't work. Now remdesivir works much better than hydrochloroquine in late stages. Remdesivir does possibly help with late stage, but the president isn't touting it. That's
well, you have to realize, though, with that medication, that costs, I think, $3,000, I believe, a month, something like that. And the hydroxy costs pennies. Okay, it costs minimal. I mean, I don't know, 10, 15 bucks. It's big pharma. You have to look at. And in regards to Trump caring, well, he did. I don't know if you saw, but he did actually reduce insulin prices in half, and certain meds that people need. He also using the Defense Act, Defense Production Act. He announced today Kodak will be making pharmaceuticals. They hired a bunch of top-notch scientists.
Is that a Japanese
people.
Outfit?
Oh, no, Kodak, the film people. Like Kodak film.
Yeah, isn't that Japanese?
No, Kodak out of Rochester, New York. They're coming.
Okay,
they're
sorry. I remember buying those, in the old-fashioned cameras, buying the yellow things and inserting it to my camera.
Oh, my God. You're older. No, God.
You know, shut up,
anyway.
Don.
Oh, my God.
You buy a set of 24 and you stick it in your camera and then you bring it to get developed and a couple weeks later you get your pictures back?
That's Kodak.
That's old school and you're freaking older than me, so you did it too, I bet.
I got Kodak film right now that hasn't been developed. So no,
and you
quota.
Probably had remember the other kind of thing where the pictures came out instantly.
Polaroid was the first sex film that you didn't have to develop and send them out to anybody. You could just see what you were doing right there. But
Jesus.
Yeah, it was pre.
What is your new medication doing to you?
I don't know. I've messed up a few words like Biden has. You know.
Are you
going to
be in Nevada selling your body like Susie Favor?
No, I moved to from Hollywood from doing that. We know what we
got. Don't go into your history tonight or I'm going to turn red.
Again, going back to, does Trump care? He's the only one who's sending out the feds to shut down all the burning down of our major cities, over $8 billion of damage. I wonder who pays for this $8 billion of damage. We do. Yeah, the city of Portland wants to fine the federal government $500 for every 15 minutes it allows the fencing outside of the federal courthouse. What kind of bizarro country do we live in?
The fencing and the militarization is causing people to be more violent. It wouldn't be as violent if they weren't
militaristic. Let's think about this. Okay. You're saying that a fence around a building to keep people from burning it down and smashing the windows is causing people to commit violence. It's like saying, you know, I have a gate around
my
community and people are attacking
it. The building would not be. The building would not be burned down.
The police get called, and then they're saying the police are triggering it. It's because people are outside trying to burn it down.
Yeah.
What world do you come from? Really, seriously.
John. By the way, I was in North Minneapolis yesterday, and I saw a gas station burned down with George Floyd, you know, words written on it. And there was another building that looked like a print shop, kind of like a mini Kinko's. And it wasn't where anything else was burned down. They were like random.
Whenever you see Donald Trump, do you just feel inclined to run out and start smashing buildings and destroying the and burn down
not
the flag?
Only Trump towers in New York.
Not
hey, I have a question for you guys.
White people do.
So, like, when someone burns down a gas station, how is the owner compensated? Is there any type of federal help, or is it only their personal insurance? Does anyone know?
Basically, it's personal insurance because, you know, insurance is about generally compensation of what is messed up. So your personal insurance is going to have that. It depends on your insurance, though, because the insurance that has natural disasters that aren't included, and I don't know if you can call a riot a natural disaster, but for the most part.
But how about like during the L.A. riots, some of those businesses got help, didn't they?
Don't know.
There were some, like, example, the street corner or the, you know, the lights or anything located that's public or that's government gets damaged. You know, the bill goes to that. If not, then you have to kind of sue the city or sue, law enforcement or so on. But generally, if your insurance doesn't cover you on your own private property or your own business, you're out. I mean, you're done. Now, also realize, say you're renting or leasing a building. Well, you just move and go to another place. It's the landlord. So the landlord would have.
Yeah, but if it's a gas station, that's kind of hard.
Well, that's where these people are just screwing, you know, sticking it to their own community. I mean, they're not helping, and they're not certainly not punishing Trump. Certainly not punishing Republicans or whoever, or the government.
Yes, they are. They're punishing him because he is doing nothing to help them. He is, I mean, him sending out all the military
people
is not helping.
Okay, you said he's not doing anything. What do you want him to do? You want him to open up a company and say, here, I have a or I'm a communist nation. I will run your company for you. But what's he supposed he's supposed to provide opportunity in an equal judicial fair a system that gives you the freedom. The point is the government doesn't give me anything. I have to go get a job and make money and start my own business. That's not a government thing. How is that true?
Yeah, well, then why do people let the government shut them down in quarantine?
Well, that is the question. Why are we letting our constitutional rights get stepped on? And when we go to work, the mayors and the governors of these local states, and who are most of them? They are Democratic governors. New York, right? California, Washington, Chicago, Minnesota. Are these Republican states? No, they're not.
No,
no.
They're not shutting down.
That's not his responsibility. He's not in charge. He's not the governor of these states. He's letting them do what they do. And then it gets out of control, and he says, okay, I got to send in troops to protect the federal. He's not protecting state stuff. It's just strictly federal building. That's his right. So I find a flaw with that argument.
I mean, it's hard to say because...
You guys, we have about 15 minutes left, and I'm going to rewrite the show, so keep talking.
Yeah, most of the states that are continuing the unrest, quote-unquote, unrest,
yeah,
are Democratic states. And there's a sense that there is freedom there, that they have an opportunity for 2 weeks to have their own state or to have their own city within the state. And that was, I'm sure it was exhilarating for those people up in Seattle to have their own city within the state. And that is a part of freedom. Our Boston Tea Party was built on making sure that we were able to have self-autonomy. That's what this is all about. This whole democratic experiment is about freedom and autonomy. And so we had it for a moment, and there are a lot of people around the country who had I'm sure that they were so proud of what those people in Seattle had. They were proud about Capitol Hill. So, the Democratic states, places that are still having this unrest, they have a lot, somewhat free, amount of freedom instead of these white assholes going around like Yoho and just calling people fucking bitches like he did Ocasio.
Well, that's because she is.
But all of Trump's.
He is.
All of his ads are fear ads, scare tactics. They're all, they don't say one thing about what he'll do. They're about, oh, you better run for your life. I'm not going to help you, but somebody will. He's a fairy. He's a scared little feminine asshole. But I am so proud of him because he is burning this bitch down. So I've got ambivalence towards him because if he's going to be a man, he's going to be a man. But he's not. And so, you've got to figure out what in the world he is. And he's neither one. He's bipolar. He's a narcissist and schizophrenic and everything else you can think about. And even though Joe Biden is, has Alzheimer's, I think I'd rather have Alzheimer's with some help than a schizophrenic in the White House. And that's where I go.
Well, Joe, his plan, and this is just look at an independent group, evaluated his financial plan. It's about $10 trillion plan. So our whole output is $4 trillion. And his plan is 10 trillion, and we're in the middle where half, you know, a good portion of the country can't work, and we're printing up money left and right. And you
that's
really
where
think
the,
that
is money, but John, there you go.
Terrible.
You're missing. It may be 10 trillion, but he's looking to net 10 to 12 trillion back. Which is a
in the evaluation, they felt also the stock market was going to contract 25%, which means all your, like, people's investments or retirement, they're going to lose 25%, and your taxes. You know how much your taxes are going to go up? They're going to go up. He said at least 28%. That's as a base, and we're going to work up from there. So you're going to go from your 15% to 28%. You're going to double up your taxes. And he doesn't have a plan. They talk about AOC. She said, you know, what would the – they asked her, what would the our communities look like without police, you know, if we defund them and take them out? She said it would be like a suburb, kind of like the Seattle, mayor who said, you know, it could be the summer of love.
And she's right. You take the police out of the inner cities and it'll be just like the suburbs. Nothing wrong with that.
A suburb of rape and murder, like Chicago, you mean? Like the, you know, with New York and Chicago, I'm just giving you facts because I know that, you know, rhetoric sounds really sexy and really fun, but facts are reality. And the reality is New York, Chicago, Portland, you know that shooting is up 300%, you know, people getting killed.
That might have something to do with COVID, though, not bipolar politics.
No, it has to do, here we go again, with the perception of militarization. This is exactly what is the problem. When you've got police, you've got an angst. You've got a stress level that is there. And when you have that stress level, you really want to break it. And so
you mean be confrontational?
Right. You feel confrontational when you have those those militarized.
Wait a second. Let's get to the truth. When did George Floyd get killed? He got 3 months ago, right? In March, right?
May 25th.
He got killed in the middle of the city, whereas if he was in the suburbs, he would not have gotten killed.
Okay, so two months ago, this happened, right? And what happened? You're saying that when did the feds get called out? They got called out a week ago. So now,
right,
in between this time, we've been having
people. No, it was about a week after.
Yeah, so we've been having people tear down statues. They're going after buildings. They're going after place, and the feds have just come out a week ago, right? And so suddenly you're saying that the feds are creating the agitation. No, the feds are trying to control the whole country from being burned down. You have such a lack of knowledge of facts and of reality because you obviously
there
haven't looked
no
at
whole
the
whole country.
Down.
So how bad is it still, John? How many protests are going on with damages?
It's going
your
on
facts
every
are wrong,
night.
John, because your facts are wrong because the only place that's being burned down is the middle of the city. The suburbs, if they need to be burned down,
they need to be burned down again.
Yeah,
burning down your own community where you live is the answer. Are you kidding me?
John,
people meet at 9 o'clock.
If you burn down
John,
the suburbs,
what's your
you
point
pay?
That if there were places being attacked that wasn't the epicenter of the city, it would be more effective?
Absolutely. But then you can say, and I would agree with you, that the cities are being burned down. Cities aren't being burned down. You've got a couple of blocks being burned down. That's not a city. A city
that's
is
your courthouse.
Size.
Wait a second. Wait a second.
It's over in Minneapolis, you guys. No one's protesting here anymore. It's business as usual.
Right.
Police stations and courthouses are being burned. Now, Jane, if people came out and started
burning
down your house.
I did hear about the courthouse. I did.
Yes, if they came out and started burning your house, burning your neighborhood, burning down courthouses, what would you want? Would you want them to just, well, this is Donald Trump triggering
the
people?
I'd want the damn law enforcement in there. I don't want anything burned. That's not going to solve anything.
And that's why I said this is white people. This is white people doing this because black people don't burn stuff generally. They might loot and take stuff that is owed us in reparations. But they've been burning shit down, except the
actually some of what Don's saying is true. It was determined a white guy set the fire to the Minneapolis precinct, and he's already been arrested and pressed charges.
And the white lady burned down Wendy's in Atlanta.
You can pick
these white
out,
people
you can pick
suck.
Out.
These white people are evil.
Okay, Don. The show's over in 4 minutes, so it's time for conclusions.
You can pick.
And I don't want to rename
people.
My show I Hate White People.
I don't hate white people. I feel sorry for them because they're the devil. They're evil. And they know it. and that's why their suicide rate is so high. That's why the homeless people are mostly white kids who got kicked out of their white homes for talking back to their moms and dads. These people are...
Don, who started the movement? It's Black Lives Matter. And who started it? Patricia Garza, Patricia Kalors, Alicia Garza, and another gal from Nigeria. So who started people?
But black
yeah,
lives
and she's
matter.
Dead as a doorknob. The fact
black
of the matter is, Don, you're wrong. We're all wrong on some level. The reason you're wrong, Don, is there's a lot of suffering in the world. There might be a poor Asian person who, there aren't any poor Asian people, but there might be a poor Asian person.
Just let me finish.
Making $20,000 a year, raising 3 kids, and her husband died of a heart disease. She ain't out there bitching, but what I'm saying is that we're all suffering on some level. I have I still have 2 high interest loans to pay off. I work 80 to 100 hours a week to get them paid off, but I ain't going to go burn nothing down. It's just, it is the way it is. But you're suffering from your recent health problems, and you probably have little things to, every time you go to the doctor, they're going to tell you something new, and you might have to get readjustments on your meds, and you're suffering too. It's the human condition. It doesn't mean, don't divide it by race. Remember that cool guy from New York on the show? He said this whole police brutality has nothing to do with race. He said it has to do with the way cops treat people across the board.
Right. And what we need to do is take the word police away, because police was developed in the 1600s for slaves. We need to stop the use of the word police. We go in
line police,
community officers or whatever, but we do not need the word police because it's the same as KKK. It's the same as
you and Pat are friends with the cops up there.
Actually black athletes need cheap Asian labor in sweatshops to kick out tennis shoes, making $100 a month, so that these guys can can live in $1 million houses with bodyguards who have guns, and they can say how oppressed they are living in America.
And who started the Asian tennis shoe basketball?
That is a joke.
It's poor white people, it's poor white people.
Okay, time for conclusion, boys. And I'm going to start tonight. My conclusion is that I witnessed John Lewis' ceremony at the Rotunda, and it seems from outside view that it was a civilized ceremony, that people honored the idea that someone named John Lewis took a risk and walked over a bridge and got the shit beat out of him 50 years ago for a higher cause. But the truth of the matter is our country is highly fractured. The mouths that come out of our top leaders at the very top are so disdainful at most times that no sincerity seems to be evident. However, I'll just fakely believe the ceremony that everybody wants the best for everybody. And it was a nice fresh breath of, it was a breath of fresh air to hear that ceremony in the midst of all the other problems going on with our nation. Next person.
Yeah, I'll go let John end up. People are not looking at or seeking the truth. The truth is that there are a lot of different cultures, races that are feeling pain. They're feeling the suffering of what our corporate leaders and our politicians are doing. They are in it for the money. Money is God, and they don't have a clue as to how to spell God if they had to.
That every show. God is dog spelled backwards.
You know, I don't say that, but they just don't know how to spell God. They spell God M-O-N-E-Y, and that's where
that's
the root
true. The white culture is obsessed with money.
They are, and they are throwing their children out and everything else for the money, and they are they're living a lie, and soon the minorities will take over, and we'll show them how to do it.
Okay, thank you, Don. John, it's your turn, and keep it civil.
Oh, it's an easy conclusion.
It's your turn. You can talk to the background of your own music.
The there's a great awakening, and you're about to see it. That's what the internet, Facebook, Twitter is trying to ban the QAnon movement, and they can't.
The Facebook already did.
That's right. And Facebook, which means they're a publisher of information, which means they've just opened themselves up to the lawsuits of like Nicholas Sandman type of people like me who get shut down for speaking their mind when everyone else, all the communists and the Marxists, can do whatever they want and burn down the country. So we will see the choice between America or communism or Marxism. And
okay,
this is
so
what...
everyone who is not a lefty is American, but if you're a lefty, you're not American?
It's going to have to come down to choosing what side you're on. There's a lot of leftists that are peaceful or they have good intentions. They've been taught that this is a way of fairness, but they refuse to live in a leftist country and see how the consequences are. And we'll have to either fight for this country or let it burn. And when you let it burn, you have to figure out what you're replacing it with. So don't eat what you're going to offer. And so I say the Great Awakening has begun, and it will continue. And all the way to the election, 98 more glorious days of destruction.
Go, Trump,
yes,
go!
Don't forget the Democratic conventions in Milwaukee in about a month. And Don, I kind of want to go, but you're not in good enough health.
No, it won't be there. They've already said that you're not going to have it. So,
well, they're having some kind of symbolism, even if Joe Biden and his running mate are the only two people in the auditorium.
That might be happening, but there won't be a convention like they said they would. They've already canceled it.
What they'll need
okay.
to do is have a big banner in front of Joe Biden that says Milwaukee, so he'll know what cities he is in, because again today he forgot what town he was in and had to apologize and made a joke about how he used to live in this other city and work in it to the audience. True story. Go Joe.
Okay, you guys are. We're going to reunite next week. Somebody reach out to Ben to see if he can join the show, and I don't know where Wade is tonight. And Dave Bo said he was coming, but he didn't. So with that, I'm ending the show. I've had a full day. Good night.
Joe supports B.